Psalm 116, reading from verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in mine haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, close us in with thyself now, I pray. Shut away every strange thought. Take away the foolish things that so often invade sacred and holy times. Lord, please forgive us for our sins. Forgive me, Lord, for my sin. Cleanse my heart so that I may be a useful vessel in your hand today. Father, I pray not only as I need the infilling of thy Spirit for service to speak the word of God, so these dear people here, they need the power of the Lord in them to receive the word. Lord, grant that this morning. Do not let anyone leave this service today, Lord, I pray, without feeling the weight of thy Spirit on them, speaking through the word of God powerfully to their soul. Lord, hear this, my prayer today. Father, I am weak and needy, and this dear people, they need grace to listen. And so I pray that you would grant to both of us this very morning. Remember Thelma in hospital. Remember, O God, the needs of Jenny, of others who are going through cancer treatment at this time. Support and strengthen each and every one, we pray. We ask now for thy presence with us to continue in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. You cannot find greater words of encouragement than we have in the starting of this psalm, where the testimony is quite clear. I love the Lord. If you're a saved person this morning here in this building, if you're listening to these words over the internet now, and you are a true child of Christ, then you will say those words, I love the Lord. These are good words for us to speak. It's good for us to say them in our quiet times of devotion and communion with Him. It's good for us to say them out in the family so that our children, those we are associated with closely in our relations, will know we're not ashamed of the Lord. Ah, but it's good to take it out in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the place where we will receive perhaps the most shame connected with such a testimony, where we'd be most embarrassed maybe to say, yes, I do know the Lord. He is my Savior. And yes, I do love Him. And I'm not afraid nor ashamed to declare that truth honestly before an accusing and very bitter world. The words I want to leave with you today, though, are found in verse 12 of the psalm, following on from what I believe the psalmist was talking about in his testimony of love. He then says and asks this question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? That's a good question. It's a question I want to leave with you this morning. And I would ask you to patiently and carefully, every Christian, ask yourself this question, what shall I render to the Lord? And maybe, what have I given unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? You know, when a Christian begins to consider the reasons that we have for giving thanks to God, the clouds of discouragement, I was talking about already in the service, and of disappointment, they may not dissipate. Let's be quite honest. When the heaviness of life is upon you, just because we think about the Lord, just because we consider what He has done for us, it doesn't mean all of a sudden things are going to turn rosy and disappear. No, the clouds, they may not dissipate. But what we will be enabled to do is to see clearly by the perspective of God. And when we see through the eyes of the Lord, then, well, we will be able to understand better why the clouds are upon us. And it is proven by experience that a believer who is rejoicing, who is praising God, who is giving thanks, is one that the devil will have a harder time rocking the spiritual boat of your life. In fact, when we consider and praise the Lord, the stabilizers will be out on the ship of our lives. When we are tempted to detour by the devil's attack into Doubting City, let us realize it will be a very short visit for us when our spiritual tanks are filled with the octane of biblical thinking. Let us remember this, friends. We must fill our minds with God's truth in order to see clearly how our life is to work and how sometimes when things are not working exactly the way we thought, the Lord has the understanding for us to be clear. It is a good thing for us to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing for us to consider all the benefits that God has poured out upon us. God our Father is glorified when we praise Him for His mercy and for His grace. Have you praised the Lord today for His grace and mercy to you? Have you thanked the Lord for not giving to you that which you deserved? That's mercy. Have you thanked Him today for His grace of giving to you what you did not deserve? That's salvation. Thank God for His mercy and His grace toward it. What has God done for us? The Lord has, my friend, loved us with an everlasting love. He has planned for our reconciliation. He has planned for our union with Him, founded in His love, in the eternal counsel of His love. And He planned to give His only begotten Son for our salvation. And the Lord Jesus lived a holy life among sinful men and women. And he went all the way to the cross and he died a cruel and shameful death on the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ has died for us. And from the cross, he went to the grave, a dead man. And there the Lord abode, a dead man for us, in the grave, for 3 days and 3 nights, until he gloriously rose from the grave. And he then ascended into heaven. And this same Jesus, which has ascended into heaven, is so coming back in like manner. And beyond all this, friend, beyond all this, the glory that he is preparing for us now, he is coming to receive us to himself, that we might go to be with him where he is for all eternity. Any reasons yet to praise him? Any reasons yet to thank the Lord? Any reasons yet to ask, what can I render unto him? On top of this, he shelters, he protects, he provides, he guides, he keeps, he strengthens, he keeps us, he encourages us and fulfills all his precious promises. My friends, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And so as we think of verse 12, with this question, it'll be good for us to contemplate, to turn it in our minds. What shall I render unto the Lord? The first answer I give to you is this. It is submission and repentance. Submission and repentance, the first thing that we are to render unto the Lord. Look at the answer that comes to us in verse 13 by the psalm writer. He said, I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of salvation. This is not the response that I would have expected from this question. I don't know if it's the response that you would have suspected. The question is asked, what am I going to give to the Lord for all his benefits to me? And the first answer comes back, I will take the cup of salvation. David is asking, what am I going to turn back to the Lord? What am I going to return to the Lord? And the answer is, I will take from the Lord. How can we return by taking? My friend, here is a glimpse for us that the way of God is not the way of men. The way of the Lord is different in his thinking than the way of men. For the first step to our worship and humility before the Lord is a step of saying, I have need from God. I cannot provide what I need for myself. The sinful heart of man thinks differently, though. The sinful heart of man says this, I will provide for my own salvation, thank you very much. I do not need the kind of God, or at least I don't believe I need the kind of God that demands repenting of things that I don't really agree are sinful. We're getting at the heart of man now, and maybe we're touching a chord, a nerve of someone here today. Because in your own mind, you think you're not such a bad guy after all. You're not really like the vicious murderers or the very lowest scum of this society. You're not like those people. You're a cut above that, right? And you look in your own heart and you say, well, I don't really need the salvation preacher that you're talking about. I really don't need what David is speaking about here, the cup of salvation. What is that all about? You really don't agree that you are a monster of iniquity. You really don't agree that you are the most reprobate sinner that has ever lived on this earth. You don't see yourself that way. You might even say, well, even if I'm not perfect, my good motives and my good deeds, they are enough, and I will be held to a standard that is going to be okay by my own thinking. And I certainly am not going to be held to the standard of some dusty old book that really is the result, a byproduct of superstition going back a long, long, long time. That's the way man thinks today, you know. That's the way the ungodly man always considers these things. And the proverb says, every man or every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. The Lord knows and thinks beyond. He sees things differently. And in Psalm, in Genesis rather 6 verse 5, God said he saw the wickedness. He saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's how God sees into the very heart recesses of the natural man. But man doesn't see himself that way. He sees himself as not so bad. Certainly not as bad as his neighbor, and his good things will outweigh his bad things. The Apostle Paul took it a step further when he said, it doesn't matter so much about the Gentile world or the ungodly outside of the orbit that the Lord has given in the Old Testament for the Jewish people. But Paul said, the Jewish people, they're actually a step worse than this. Why? Because he said they went about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. But they had the word of the Lord, and they rejected it. Yet in the face of our rebellion and our rejection, where the heart of man stands and says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? God has provided, friend, for our restoration so that we can be saved. And he has called it here in this psalm, the cup of salvation. And that we might drink of this cup and never thirst again. We might drink of this and say, I am satisfied, my soul is filled. Isn't that what the Lord said to the woman of Samaria in John 4? He went to her and he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And when that woman believed in Jesus, she drank of the cup of his salvation. Because that's what it means, friend. To drink of the Lord means to believe in him. I'm not talking about drinking the communion cup. I'm not talking about any other physical thing. That's not what the Bible means here at all. It's talking about the receiving of the Lord by faith. That's what it means to drink of the Lord Jesus. My friend, have you taken the Lord today? Have you believed in him? Have you drunk from that well of salvation by repenting of your own sin and of turning from it unto Christ? For that's the only way that you will be saved. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, Jesus said, let him take of the water of life freely. He offers it freely. You cannot pay for it, because the fact is, you have nothing to pay with. It's a gift, and he gives that gift to us. And yes, here, my friend, is the very first step of submission in giving to God the praise and the worship that he deserves by taking his salvation so freely offered. I have need, and I cannot meet that need myself. And Lord, I willingly receive from your hand that full salvation. My friend, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, and that's the state of your own heart, I would challenge you. I would say, where you are seated now, call out unto him. Say, Lord, give me that cup of salvation to drink. Let me understand what it means to be saved by your grace, to repent of my sin and say that Jesus is my Redeemer. Ah, yes, the psalmist said here, what am I going to render unto the Lord? The first thing, I'm going to submit my heart and repent of my sin, and I will take the cup of salvation. What's the second thing? It is our praying unto God, our supplication. For he says in the same verse 13, I will call upon the name of the Lord. It's as natural as breathing. The next thing that a person does that has received the Lord is that they pray. Christian, that's the natural air that you breathe of heaven. It is our praying. I will call upon the name of the Lord. You will see again that on the surface, this thing that is called rendering or giving to God is intended for our blessing and for our increase and not God's increase. For the fact is that we cannot give anything to him to increase the Lord. Now, most times when we speak to him in prayer, we are asking for something. But again, the Lord practices what he preaches in his own word. For Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he had more joy and great joy in giving unto an undeserving people. And he had the joy of giving of himself for us. And he said, it is a blessed thing. In fact, it's better to give than it is to receive. In Matthew 7 and verse 11, Jesus said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? The parallel verse in Luke's gospel, it puts the word Holy Spirit in the place of the good things. And that's interesting, the two varying accounts, because the verses are virtually the same apart from the change of that one area. And when you think of what God has given to us as his people, he has poured out, he has given the Holy Spirit to us, whereby we have a witness in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with God the Father that we are his children. And so that witness is born. But the Lord, in giving to us his Holy Spirit, it is termed here in Matthew's gospel, the good things of God. And they are multiplied. They are many. David says here, I will call upon the name of the Lord. And that tells me that he is going to pray with purpose. He said, I will. It's a determination. And my friend, if you're going to be a faithful follower of God, then there has to be that same spirit of determination that you're going to call unto the Lord. And remember, this is one aspect of rendering unto God. It is, what are we going to give unto God? I'm going to call upon him. I'm going to pray unto the Lord, and I will determine in my heart to do that. There is purpose. Friend, we're not just to pray to the Lord when, well, do I feel like praying today? Is my spirit all bubbly and joyful? Do I feel like praying today? No. There are times when you will quite frankly feel like not praying. You'll feel like prayer is the last thing you want to engage in. Oh, but friend, it's just on a day like that You will say with determination before God, I will call upon the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. I will seek Him with all my heart. There is a purpose and there is also a persistence. I will call. I will keep on calling. That's the intent of this verse. It's not just, well, I will call once and that's it. I will not just call in salvation to take the cup. No, I will continue in my life of prayer and communion with God. There is a persistence here, and it's based upon what? It's based upon a relationship that we have. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. It is Jehovah. It is the Lord in capital letters in our translation, and it is the word Jehovah. He is the covenant-keeping God. And the covenant-keeping God means that we have a relationship with Him. We are in union through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And therefore, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. And because I have that relationship, I know I am accepted in His presence. I can come at any time of the day, of the night, when the sun is shining and I see it, when the sun is shining and I do not see it because the clouds are there, I will still call on the Lord, because my worth of calling is not based upon myself. The only way I have of calling is because there is one that is worthy, whose name I come through. And it's through the Lord Jesus. That's the relationship I have. And it gives to me not only purpose and persistence and relationship, it's based upon authority. I have the right to come. And God has given to me that authority. And therefore, believer, don't be bashful. Don't be afraid. Don't think because of your sin you're not going to be welcome in God's presence. Confess your sin. Forsake the sin. Put it behind you under the blood of your Redeemer. And then realize, I have authority to come. I do not have to wait to be invited. For that invitation that God has given has already been penned in precious blood, friend. It has been penned by the blood of Jesus. And I therefore am always welcome. And I am always able to come on the ground of that authority. Therefore, as the apostle said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our need. I need helping grace, and I have this authority, this power to come boldly to the Lord and to bring my request, to bring my prayer, and to know that God hears. He inclines His ear unto me. We were noticing that last Wednesday evening as we're thinking of the first two verses of this psalm, and how that he said, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Look at verse 2. Because He hath inclined His ear. I love that verse. I love that phrase. Because God is stooping down to hear me. He is turning His head, His ear toward my faint, feeble, sometimes foolish cry, unworthy cry. And yet, my Heavenly Father's ear is tuned to me. Believer, that's a great hope for us. Don't miss that thought. See, prayer is a special part of our giving to God. We pray to Him because we love Him. We pray to the Lord because we have need of Him, because it is God's designed way for us to learn dependence upon Him. Remember, the Lord is not bettered by our praying. He is not increased or improved, but we are the ones who receive that grace from Him. We are the ones that when we come to the Lord, His arms are open to receive His children. We are enabled to seek His face and learn in times of great distress that we need Him. We need the Lord more than we know. And the danger is sometimes when we're not going through trials and things are kind of going okay and we get sloppy, we get careless, and we don't call on the Lord the way we one time did when we're going through great distress. And that's the story of all our lives, friends. The Lord has said to us, let's come to pray. Let us come to seek Him. Because in prayer, what are we doing? What are we rendering, giving to God? We are directing our worship to Him, because prayer is worship. Prayer is worship as the preaching of the Word of God is worship. Prayer is worship as the preaching is worship, as our singing is worship unto God. And therefore, as we come to unite our hearts in song, by the words we are singing, we are worshiping our living God. And therefore, our worship in our singing, in our preaching, in our praying, it is to be directed unto a thrice holy God. We worship the Lord in prayer by devoting our time to Him. Many people say, the clock has beat me. I don't have time to do that today. I just can't find the time to get that thing done I have to do. And the pressure is upon you. And you're involved in business. You're involved in production deadlines. You're involved in the situation where the customer's breathing down your ear virtually on the telephone, and I have to have this done. It's got to be there. This job needs to be completed. And so the time, it's very much against us very often in our lives. And only think about family considerations and entertainment considerations and all the other things we have to do. Here's the problem. By the end of the day, we've run out of time for God. There's nothing left. The clock has ticked, and we fall asleep, and we've no time left for Him. Friend, what shall we render unto the Lord? David said, I will call upon the name of the Lord. And that takes time. It takes determination. It takes an effort. I'm coming to worship the Lord. I'm coming to devote my time unto Him. I'm coming to deny myself. Yes, self-denial, the flesh. Oh, the flesh hates prayer. The flesh hates Bible reading. Fact is, the flesh hates everything that is spiritual and right and God glorifying. The old nature says, I don't want to be part of that. And there's a resistance and there's a pulling and it's hard. But friend, that's what being a disciple of Christ, that's what it means when the person said, I love the Lord and therefore I want to worship Him. I want to render unto God for all His benefits to me. He deserves it. Are we going to give unto Him? Does our calling upon God speak of how much we really esteem Him? What do people know of our love and devotion to God by our prayers? Does our praying render anything of worship to the Lord? But friends, as we think about rendering unto God, there is involved here also not only our submission, not only our supplication, but also our sacrifice. Please look at verse 14. He said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. I will give to the Lord what He requires of me, be it pleasing or painful. that the name of Christ may be glorified. In John Fox's works called The Acts and Monuments, he records the following concerning a martyr by the name of John Philpot. John Philpot was executed in Smithfield in England, and he was burned at the stake because of his faith in Jesus Christ, because he would not bow down before the Mass, the Roman Catholic doctrine of the Mass, and he would not acknowledge that the Mass was literally the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And for that crime, he was burned at the stake. As Mr. Philpot kneeled down there, he was heard saying this: "I will pay my vows to thee, O Smithfield." Now, Philpot's love for God and his testimony of faith in Christ meant more to him than his own life, and he was prepared to sacrifice all to render this honor unto the Savior. And when he said these words, "I will pay my vows to thee, O Smithfield," he was simply saying, "I am going to come and give my life now willingly for the cause and the honor of my Redeemer. For his name means more to me than my name. As a matter of fact, his name means more to me than my life does. Friend, I don't know what type of faith that is. I do not know what type of love that is. And I don't know what type of commitment that is. And I'll say that none of you know it either. But only God's grace would be given at a time, a commitment of a man's life that would go to this extent. And I would encourage you, I would exhort you, Christian, to find the works of John Fox and to read them, because they will sadden you, they will sicken you in your stomach, but they will strengthen your resolve, and they will steal in your soul when you consider some of the saints of God and what they have gone through for their love. You see, following Christ involves a sacrifice, or at least we could say a counting of the cost. What does it mean to serve the Lord? We cannot follow Him faithfully without knowing that we will be hated by the world and perhaps often dismissed as being unintelligent and of no real value in society. The Savior promised that in order to follow Him, a man must first take up his cross daily. Sometimes this will be the cross in the family, when because of the Savior, people are rejected and cast out. This is prominent when someone converts to God from an Islamic family, and they are cut off from their families, and even death threats placed upon them. It may be that a person lived a certain style of life in the family. I've seen this occasion repeated many times over. They were a problem. A young person was a problem in the family, getting involved with the law, getting involved with alcohol and drugs and all kinds of stuff. And then the person gets converted, and their life is radically changed. But you know, here's the strange thing. The parents in that family, they make it as if they would have rather had the drunk and the drug addict in the house rather than the converted person, because they don't like the change that's transpired. They don't like the change that's happened. And persecution follows, and even the need to leave home for that person. Perhaps, friend, it will be in the workplace when, in order to move up the ladder, you have to be involved in some unethical decisions. Maybe at times expected to sign off on a file that is not accurate. You may be required or requested to, by the work of the superior, maybe to reconcile a shipment that is not quite right. And if you don't do this thing, if you refuse that, you're going to be marked, and maybe you will miss that promotion. Maybe you will not be exalted. But remember this, friend, the Lord Jesus said, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And when you place the Lord first in your life, you will see He will take care of those things. He will take care of you. But yes, being a Christian at times, it seems to require a sacrifice. I will pay my vows. I will keep the obligation that I have made with God. And we can sometimes look at people who have done great things for the Lord, either missionaries or maybe some church planter, and we'll conclude that, well, the great sacrifices that have been made by those people. But when those folks are asked the question, "Tell me about the sacrifices you've made for the Lord. Tell me." You get a different story. David Livingstone, a missionary and explorer of Africa, whose heart is actually buried in Malawi, after he died and his body was returned to England, his heart was kept there. And Livingstone, who had trekked all across the African continent for the souls of men, he was tireless in his purpose. And on one occasion, when he had returned back to England for some special meetings, he was asked there about the great sacrifice that he had made. And this is what he said. He said, "People often ask me about my accomplishments and my sacrifices, but I have made no sacrifice. For what I have done for Christ is the very least compared to what He has done for me." In one sense, we must count the cost and be prepared. But in the other sense, we have no right to speak of sacrifice. It is our reasonable service for our Master. You see, friend, there is a sacrifice that we are to consider, but it's nothing compared to what the Lord has done for us. Yes, and there is also in this word service. Please look at verse 16. "O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds." He is a servant, and he acknowledges himself as a servant unto Jehovah, but he is not a servant in bonds. He is a servant in freedom. He is a servant in liberty. And our service must not be to the Lord of obligation, but of love and a desire to honor Him. A true servant's heart is one that is bound to his master. And I would say that we would all do well to pray, "O God, give me, I ask, a servant's heart that I may serve with joy the King of kings and the Lord of lords. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." He did not come to serve, but he came rather to be. He did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And when the Lord took his disciples aside and he washed their feet, he showed us there an illustration. Not that we are to wash each other's feet today, but we have the spirit of serving others. We have the spirit of being in the mind of Christ. We are to serve the Lord without bonds, in freedom. We are to serve in thanksgiving, to offer up unto the Lord spiritual sacrifices of praise unto His name. And we are to serve with dedication in the courts of the house of the Lord. We are here. This is the Lord's house. This is His place. And we are to serve the Lord here with dedication, with devotion, with praise from our hearts. And therefore, friends, I leave this verse with you today. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits unto me?" Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, maybe that the Lord has spoken to your heart today. If you're not a Christian, you're not a believer. Friend, right where you are seated now, you can repent of your sin and call on the Lord to save you. And He has said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, do that today, right where you are seated. And if Christian, you have to admit, as we all do, we have failed the Lord in not rendering unto, not giving unto Him what we should, our lives, our hearts, our souls. And say, Lord, today, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Father, hear our prayers this morning. Give us grace, we pray, to apply Thy word to our hearts. Give us grace to understand, and grace and the will to put into practice that which we know we must do. Lord, do not allow the devil to take the seed of Thy word out of any heart now. Give us grace, we pray. So hear our prayers. Part us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. For we ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.